Good evening and welcome to Blank Canvas, the home of visual art and culture in the Bahamas. I'm Diana Sands, Communications and Development Manager at the NAGB, and I'm in studio with Ms. Bodine. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Diana. I want to call you by your other name, but I guess we're in professional mode.
No,
good evening,
okay.
Everyone. Okay, I'm going to call you Blue for the rest of the day, okay?
Okay.
Thanks. Okay.
It is so good to have you. It's so lovely to see you. It's been a long time, and it's good to talk about culture.
Yes. I don't think I've seen you maybe in, 6 years.
Yeah.
Personally, in 6 years. I've always seen you, on a boat somewhere, enjoying yourself. You be living your best life. And then you called me out the blue, and I was like, oh, hey, Blue, what's up?
I know. Well, listen, so Blank Canvas, we're here talking about culture. But before we really get into that, let's talk about who you are, what you've been up to, how you got into music.
Mm-hmm.
And, for the audience who's unfamiliar with Miss Rock of My Cherry.
Hey. Well, I'm Bodacious. Uh-huh. Well, that's one of the stage names. My name is Bodine Victoria, and there are no spaces. It's optimized for social media and for searches, and so that you don't find the rock band that is out of the Netherlands of the same name that is hogging up Apple Music. So let's just get that out of the way. Don't call me Bodine. I'm Bodine Victoria when I'm in music mode. And I have been in the music industry for, I would say, about 20 years. I started shortly before I graduated college. I was with Buff Boo Records at the time in Frontline Productions. I started out, even before that, now that I think about it, I started out before that as a gospel rapper with Dunamis Sounds. Yes, Blue is looking at me girl, what?
I did not know.
Yeah,
this.
I've been deep in these streets, Lil Wild. So I was with Dunamis Sounds first, with Manifest as a gospel rapper. I made the transition into reggae, and that's how I got to Buff Boo Records and Frontline Productions. And then from there, I became an independent artist. When I was with Frontline Productions, I did a lot of reggae music. In between that transition from hip-hop to reggae, I also did jazz as well, and Caribbean jazz in particular. The way that I write in such a way that I'm able to create different styles of music from my lyrics and, change them up so that it fits whatever stage I go on to. But I deliver Bahamian-themed content in that particular way. So the wording, the experiences, everything is very, very Bahamian, regardless of what subject or what genre I decide that I want to present myself in. My biggest regional hit is called Intoxicated, the O2 Junkanoo Refix. The original one for that, and y'all, I've given y'all the history, so just go with me. The original one for that was actually a collaboration on the One Night Rhythm by British Virgin Islands producer Lincoln Ward. And I met him through some of the work that I did as a youth ambassador and as a cultural ambassador. So just go with me. We listened to the song. We released Intoxicated, the first version. And I said to him, I want to Bahamianize it a bit. So I added Junkanoo to it. We went all the way up to the Clifton Heritage Site. We shot the video there. The video features Trinidadian styled costumes, but we pasted it. And believe it or not, that was the very first iteration of the collaboration between Soca and Junkanoo, and it meshed extremely well because, as we know, they're both very African, presentations of culture. I think that I'm just going to call it that, African derivative presentations of culture, the Junkanoo and, of course, the carnival elements. So a lot of people really think that our culture really just needs to stick and to be one particular thing. But what we need to remember and understand is culture is an evolving thing, and it's experienced through the eyes and the lenses of many other people in many ways. And regardless of which island you go to, they are going to have their experiences. So imagine with that one song that was played on Tempo Television, and I was a BTC brand ambassador at the time, people who never heard the sounds of Junkanoo heard it overtly introduced to them in that particular way on their television screens and on their radio stations through a song that was a British Virgin Islands soca song. And so you have that iteration of what I call Socanoo. I also want to say here, so that I don't move in the spirit of erasure, that I was not the first to do it. I have to give my props to the Visage Band, who had, prior to me even saying that that's what I wanted to do, they had been traveling to Trinidad and had been performing their version of soca music. And I want to say hello to Lady E, Erica, who coined the term that I use, soca nu. At least that's what I attribute it to. And that's important, that we don't erase people's cultural investments or their cultural contributions in that way as we develop our stories. Anyway. So that's where the junk canoe came in. Mm-hmm. After the junk canoe came in, I said, you know what? I think I need to do more music that is indigenous. And so I decided to make sure that the brand that I presented represented more overtly Bahamianness. And I think that that worked for me. So Intoxicated and the visuals in Intoxicated was the very first time that you saw all of the straw, the costumes I made by myself. And I also made with Bappy from... I can't remember what Bappy is, but if you know Bappy, you know what Junkanoo group he with. Sorry, Bappy. And and you have like the straw market there. You had this beautiful flag necklace by Tisha Fritz that I still have to this day, that for me is iconic. You saw authentic Androsia represented in all of the costumes, the African heritage. And those things, those elements are important to me. From there, when the Bahamas Junkanoo Carnival came around, I had taken a hiatus of many years just to go into teaching and to say, okay, well, let me just try to be a good teacher. At the height of my career, I went and I said, let me just be a good teacher, because there's a whole different level of stress associated with being a recording artist that is not what a lot of people think a recording artist should look like, who teaches religious studies to the children by day and then goes out and is half naked on stage, you know, in a Eloise Lewis, Maureen Duvalier kind of way at night. You ain't supposed to do that. So I said, you know what, let me try. And then I was like, I'm that. So Bahamas Carnival comes around, or at the time it was called Bahamas Junkanoo Carnival, and the Music Masters competition comes around. And I enter the Music Masters competition. Rick Carey, he produced my fourth place winning track, All Day, All Night, which was really a catalyst for how I wanted to make sure that the sounds of Rake and Scrape and Junkanoo were merged. And so we created a brand new sound, right?
And I love it.
Thank you. And that brand new sound is a sound that has yet to be recreated in the way that Rick does it. We also released Juicy Fruit shortly after, because I figure if I'm going to do one Sokanu song, then I have to make sure that I do one indigenous song. So I'm matching the energy. We released All Day All Night, then Juicy Fruit. Then we released Good Feelings, and that played at the Pelicans game and the Miami Heat game halftime show chosen by the Ministry of Tourism. And then after that, we released song after song after song after song, and they're being well received. Some I am just cycling back to just to give visuals. And what I want people to understand about my music is that I almost forget Rock on My Chariot and get to that.
Well, you know that's my favorite.
Well, you know. Thank you so much. Here's what I want people to understand about my music. My music is a reflection of a Maureen Duvalier, of an Eloise Lewis, of an Exuma the Obe man. It pays homage to Therese Hepburn. It pays homage to KB. It pays homage to our storytellers. It pays homage to the time when we could go out and we could play ring play. And it is written, recorded, produced in such a way that the nostalgic elements are there for people who have lived these experiences and who know the references. And at the same time, the sound is so new that it fits in with the future that our children and our culture are headed towards. And I think that there's a space for all of it, for that nuanced and that nostalgia. There's a space for that, for that classic, for that golden age of Bahamian music, and for what we are creating now. And so I've proven that three times since Bahamas Carnival. The first one was Rock of My Cherry. Okay. So we put the little girls on the beach, and I say to Killifang in Grand Bahama, I flew up there, and his studio is called Sharp Tooth Studios, and I flew up there, and we were just like having a blast in the studio. Just one day in, I went in 6 o'clock in the morning. I met with him at 10 o'clock. I was back on the flight out at 7 o'clock in the evening. Yeah,
that's an intense schedule
because I wanted to work with him. So I had prior to that sent him the mock-up. He sent me the information, and then I said, I come in, because the energy in studio with him is a different level of energy. All of the ad-libs, they came easily. We were in there literally just laughing the whole time. Some of the vocals are not exactly perfect, but I wanted them to be imperfect. I didn't want them to be too polished. I wanted you to hear that KB influence in the ad-libs, you know, where you have that laugh. I wanted people to hear and to see the storytelling. Yes, I showed up to this party with all my sexy body. So I don't care what your body look like. As far as I can concern, my body's sexy. Absolutely. And that's how your body's supposed to feel for you.
And the highlight it is at the end of it. And it's like, I can't go big.
You know, you're done jumping up and down on top of all them people dancing, ring playing. And so, yes, let me go big. Okay? I can't carry this dirt with me. Let me go big. And that's a Bahamian thing to do. Mm-hmm. And you would be surprised that now I end my shows. Okay, now, let me go big. Like, end every stage show with, let me go big. After that, we go into Juicy Fruit again, because I circle back and I release the video for Juicy Fruit. And that one there has a Gino D sample. I shouldn't say a sample, but it has a reference to a Gino D song in it. And Rick Carey produced that. And we shot that at Dungalik Studios on Village Road. And it was important for me to be able to speak with Pam Burnside. Love her and all of the artisans there. And we were able to show all of the artwork in that space. That really colorful Bahamian-ness, and that particular estate is such a pinnacle and such an energy source for Bahamian creatives. And so shooting that there, I was able to tell the story too, because it's also inspired by Joseph Spence's Don't Touch Me Tomato. And even with that, you have that Maureen Duvalier. It's the way she's singing, all he do is squeeze him, all he do is feel him, feel him. So we shot the video. I have all of my sisters there. We have a fruit stand and, you know, all the boys in the yard. And you would hear your mommy say, now look here, don't entertain these bunch of boys in my yard. That's what you do. Don't let them feel up your dilly. It's a warning. Mm-hmm. It's the typical way that Bahamian women, we kind of code what it is that we want to say. And you have to be very sharp to get it, or you have to have somebody explain it to you.
Yeah.
And so whenever I do that, whenever I perform that song, by the end of the song, you know, everybody's doing squeeze, squeeze, feel, feel, touch, touch. And you see the video, but once you see me start, I get into character. That's where they go. That's the storytelling. And finally, one of the more recent ones is called Maintenance Fee. I ain't even released that yet.
Well, I'm waiting.
That one is coming out very soon. And basically, it is my way of saying to young women, and let me pull my camera out so when it's time to promote this, I could actually promote the actual song. Y'all don't laugh, because we live inside this era where we have to record things, right? But Maintenance Fee is a way of making a man feel masculine, but also still telling him, you have a responsibility. If you're trying to see me, you have a responsibility to take care of me as well. I can take care of myself. You need to add to that, you know, or take on the full responsibility. And so I was at the FTX Off the Grid show. Ian released the song. Americans don't know the song. Once they heard Rockin' My Cherry, they came running across the beach, and then they started to dance. And then when I got to Maintenance Fee, right, I sang the first few lines, and then I sang the chorus. They laughed. I said, yeah, get them. Then I sang the second verse, and I started the chorus. And they were singing the Maintenance Fee chorus line for line. And I said, yes, we got them. And I said, if American women who don't know this song could get it, then I know Bahamians could get it, Caribbean people could get it. And it's in the storytelling, but it's also in the general message of community that I have with my music. I don't want to make anybody feel as though they're less than or they're lower than. And I want to make sure that people get the message that we can coexist. I can express frustration. I can be coquettish. I can be, you know, I can deliver important messages in a comedic way.
That's very important. And we'll talk more about that FTX performance and these other great opportunities you've been taking advantage of in the next segment. But for now, we are going to take a quick break. And please stay tuned for more Blank Canvas.